This is Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle this week. Thanks for listening while Larry's away. One of the greatest literary figures of our time has died. Author Toni Morrison passed away at a hospital in New York last night. She was 88. Morrison was the first Black woman to win the Nobel Prize in Literature. Her work also earned a Pulitzer Prize and the devotion of countless fans all over the world. She used her powerful command of the language and story to bring the African-American experience to life, from slavery to the discrimination Black people face in modern society. Many, many people in our audience have read her work, have loved her work. If Toni Morrison's writing touched your life in some way and you'd like to share how that was, you can call us at 866-893-5722. Again, 866-893-5722. You can also share on our social media feeds, on our page on kpcc.org, the show page, where you can share a comment. Welcoming Dana Williams to the show, a professor of African American literature and chair of the Department of English at Howard University. She's also the president of the Toni Morrison Society. And Toni Morrison actually received her undergrad degree in English at Howard back in 1953. So Howard University, definitely a part of that author's biography. Professor Williams, thank you very much for being on Air Talk. And if you would just share your impressions at the passing of Toni Morrison and what that means to you.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm happy to join the call and certainly happy to represent Howard University and the Toni Morrison Society here. I think anything that I would say about Morrison's relevance and significance and the importance of her in American literature and really literature more broadly would be an understatement. Even as we know that we all must go the way of the wind, it's still an incredibly difficult time for those of us who love her work and who love Morrison personally.
Yeah. Also with us is Maya Butler, assistant professor of African American literature at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. Professor Butler, you are somebody whose life was touched by Toni Morrison and her works. Can you describe your personal relationship with her work?
Sure. I can remember picking up a novel from my mother's bookshelf, Tar Baby, and sort of trying to engage in the pages at a time that I was probably too young to grasp the depth of what was going on with the work. In my last year as an undergraduate at the University of Alaska, I took a course that was an author course on Toni Morrison, and the 16 weeks that I spent immersed in her literature really were life-changing. I had been preparing to apply for law schools, but I shifted and decided to go into graduate school in English. I wanted to talk about Toni Morrison every day for the rest of my life.
Because of that class, you shifted to focus on English?
Absolutely.
Wow. So that was just something that completely changed the course of your life. How is it today, reflecting back on her work and its impact, knowing that she now is no longer living, she's no longer with us, but obviously her impact remains forever in our literary world?
Really does remain forever. I spent some time in the backyard this morning just sort of being in nature and being with my thoughts about my love for her words, about moments that I've had in the classroom, how she has really had a formative impact on some of my students. My past graduate students were tagging me in Facebook posts today, saying that I was the person who introduced them to her work. My reverence for her can't be understated, can't be overstated. I wrote about her in my dissertation, which I'm now revising into a monograph. I think about her work all the time.
Maya Butler with the Department of African American Literature at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. Autumn Womack is also on with us today on Air Talk to talk about Toni Morrison's impact. Assistant professor of African American Studies and English at Princeton, where Toni Morrison taught, was an emeritus professor of humanities, and lectured quite a bit. You've taught courses on Toni Morrison, I understand, Professor Womack. What is her impact on students when you see her work taught and the words and the stories sort of sink in with a classroom?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I think the whole Princeton community is just feeling this loss in an incredible way. So I taught a class this semester that was on Toni Morrison and the archive, because we're lucky enough to have her papers available for students and to the public. And what's so amazing is that you see students across disciplines, so students who have never taken an English class before are drawn to a course that's on Toni Morrison. And many of them have encountered her works before, mostly through The Bluest Eye or Beloved. But they return to the text and you see them learning something new at every turn and with every sentence. And I think that's the gift of Morrison, that you can read the book countless times and you get something. It gives you a gift every single time. There's a line from The Bluest Eye that students always cling to in the beginning, and it's something like, since we don't know why, we have to take refuge in the how. And it's that how, right, that I see students really working through and figuring out and meditating on across all of her texts. How did we get to this place that we are now? How do we understand slavery? How do we understand institutional racism? How do we understand ourselves? It's the gift of Morrison for students and for everyone.
Autumn Womack with Princeton University African American Studies professor, also an English professor. We have a call coming in from Abdullah in Pasadena. I'm taking your calls at 866-893-5722, reflecting on the passing of literary giant Toni Morrison. She passed away last night, according to her publisher, at 88 years old, leaving behind an incredible legacy, writing primarily about the African-American experience, especially African-American women. Abdullah in Pasadena, what are your thoughts as we learn about Toni Morrison's passing this morning?
Well, for me, I just found out while listening to Air Talk, and my heart broke. It was like hearing my grandmother had passed, because every one of her books, Beloved, Sula, The Bluest Eye, really helped young Black kids really know that we could go forward in our education, in academia, and really learn the English word. I mean, to turn a phrase like she did, I only aspire to do that. But we have lost a national treasure today. And I just hope that people go out and just, I'm going home right now and just open up Beloved and just start all over again and find new words in that, as your last person said, in Sula.
Can you tell me how you first came across Toni Morrison? Was it in a classroom, Abdullah, or where did you first read her? And you know, what point in your life was that?
It was my English teacher at Pasadena City College. I can't even remember his name, but he knew that I clearly would fall in love with Toni Morrison. I was probably like 18 or 19. And being a young Black queer person, it just spoke to me. It just gave me such life.
Abdullah, thank you so much for sharing that beautiful remembrance and your experience of how Toni Morrison impacted your life. It's really wonderful to have you take the time to call into Air Talk. So I thank you very much for that. I'm Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle. Today, we're talking about the passing of legendary, just beyond words influential author Toni Morrison, who passed away last night at the age of 88. Dana Williams on the line, professor of African American literature and chair of the Department of English at Howard University, where Toni Morrison received her BA in English in 1953. Professor Williams, can you tell me about who Toni Morrison was and why her voice was so needed at that point when she began publishing novels?
I think the caller said it best. She's a national treasure in every way. And I would even add to that probably an international treasure, because her books have been translated into more languages than any other American author. Of course, she was a Nobel laureate, but she was In addition to being a beautiful novelist who could do amazing things with language, she was also a public intellectual in an age where writers tended to shy away from the very difficult conversations that we need to have. So if you think about the work that she did with Playing in the Dark to help us to reimagine what American literature was and what were the kinds of undercurrents that informed American literature, or even more recently, the election of Donald Trump, or some of the moments that have been difficult in our recent racial imaginary. I think those are all of the reasons that we think about her importance as a writer, but then also as a thinker who was kind enough to share her thoughts with us publicly. And just as a mother, as an editor, as a teacher, she was, you know, all of those things. And we tend to think about just the gift of the novels without really thinking about the sacrifice that it must have cost her. She talks often about how important it was for her to write in isolation. In the most recent documentary, Toni Morrison, The Pieces That I Am, she mentions how she always left her door open. She would get up early enough so that, you know, her children wouldn't disturb her necessarily, but she would never close her door because that meant that she was shutting herself off from them and from her family. And I think we can extend that even to us as readers, that she never closed the door of her interior mind. And I love that line that says, you know, she was a friend of my mind. And that's certainly how I think about her.
Hmm. And it's also nice to hear a story like that, that really goes against the prevailing narrative of a genius who is isolated and doesn't have family responsibilities and is often male and white, and this idea of somebody just furiously typing away in a tower somewhere. I mean, this was, or, you know, a fancy house somewhere. This was a single mom who worked in the publishing industry. She was almost 40 when her first novel was published. She was writing it, as you mentioned, early mornings when she could around her other work and parenting responsibilities. The Bluest Eye, published in 1970, looks at internalized racism. It's about a little black girl who longs for blue eyes. And we have a clip of Toni Morrison talking in 2004 about why she wrote the book and what motivated her to turn a short story that she'd been working on into The Bluest Eye. And it discusses the need for the voice that she was presenting. Let's hear it.
I felt compelled at that time. This is mid-60s. Most of what was being published by black men were very powerful, aggressive, revolutionary fiction or nonfiction. And also they had a very positive, racially uplifting rhetoric to go with it. Some of which was, all of which was stimulating, but some of which I, as an older person, thought, wait a minute. One of which was, you are my black queen, black is beautiful. And I thought, yeah, but why so loud? Then I thought, wait a minute, they're going to skip over something. And no one's going to remember that it wasn't always beautiful, you know. No one's going to remember how hurtful a certain kind of internecine racism is.
Maya Butler with the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, hearing the words there, no one's going to remember that it wasn't always beautiful, that it just hits you in the gut. I mean, talk about that need for that voice and that narrative.
Absolutely. Something that I love about Morrison's work is the rich multivocality of her work, the way that she centers marginalized voices, and the way that she foregrounds marginalized histories. Last time I taught a novel of Morrison's, it was Paradise. And there's a wonderful, anybody can Google about how that went on Oprah's book club. People were not expecting that novel from the book club readership community, and they actually invited Morrison to teach the book, you know, in the classroom to some of the folks who view her show. But that's a side note. But Paradise is a novel that opens with a massacre, and it happens outside of an all-black town. And in Wilmington, we had a massacre. There was a race massacre in 1898 where a black newspaper was burned down, and they tried to run black folks out of government positions and out of town altogether. And so to read that book in this context and to think about the types of black communities that we don't know about, there's so many all-black towns in literature and in this country, and to think about the different sorts of black language, black cultures that come together, ways of being, ways of knowing in black communities, it really shows us that beyond an idea of the black community, blackness is so rich and varied, and it's through showing us these histories that get deliberately forgotten that students really come to understand a little bit of the rich culture that she's showing in her novels.
Maya Butler with the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. We're going to be back with our guests here talking about the impact of Toni Morrison, the writer who has passed away at the age of 88. And we're taking your calls, 866-893-5722, 866-893-5722. Your calls and more impressions from our guests. Coming up after this break, I'm Libby Dankman, in for Larry Mantle.
And suddenly, there was Sweet Home, rolling, rolling, rolling out before her eyes. And although there was not a leaf on that farm that did not make her want to scream, it rolled itself out before her in shameless beauty. It never looked as terrible as it was, and it made her wonder if hell was a pretty place, too. Fire and brimstone, all right, but hidden in lacy groves.
Fire and brimstone, hidden in lacy groves. That is the author Toni Morrison reading from her classic, Beloved, one of the best-known novels of her 11 that she published in her lifetime. Toni Morrison has passed away at the age of 88. We're taking your calls on the impact of her writing on your life, and also speaking with our panel of experts. Shonda in Leimert Park joins us now. Hi, Shonda. How did Toni Morrison change your life, or how did her work affect you?
So as a writer and a professor, Toni Morrison changed the trajectory of what it meant to be a black woman in America, I think. We have a different kind of articulated version of ourselves from a white perspective. And one of her books that a lot of people don't talk about is her book, Whiteness, Playing in the Dark, Whiteness in the Literary Imagination. Right. And so that was one of her first critical looks at how blackness was developed in opposition to whiteness and what that meant in their literary scope and how she wanted to subvert that. So for me, the impact was giving me back to myself as a writer, I think. It allowed me to teach my daughter a different way of how she could move in this world as a black woman. And I taught her at Hampton University when I worked there for 13 years to my students. And several of my students have just sent Instagram saying thank you for sharing her. Thank you for teaching her. I wouldn't have known about Toni Morrison if it wasn't for you. And at that moment, I think, I'm so glad that I taught it, but why don't you know about this woman? Why would you not know about what I call the grandmother of writers who gave black women a different sense of what it meant to be us in this country? And she writes about the commodity that black women's bodies have been, particularly in Beloved, and you just played a clip from Beloved, Toni Morrison reading from Beloved, when I read that book, when I first encountered it at 18, I read it three times. And why did I read it three times? I think it was a different way of looking at a woman who knew at once that she was property, but at the same time she was a mother. At the same time she was a wife. And at the same time she was a woman who was haunted by the ghost of her daughter, but also the ghost of enslavement and slavery. So those kinds of discussions weren't happening in the public sphere when I was 18 years old. And I honestly feel that sometimes in the communities or the places where that conversation should happen in America, it's still not happening. So we have to continue the fight as Black women writers, as Black writers in this country. And I'm trying to do my work, too.
Shonda, powerful, powerful call and voice for you as a teacher to call in about the impact on your students and on your own work as well. Thank you so much for calling from Leimert Park, Shonda in Leimert Park. And I just want to step out of the way and let Autumn Womack with Princeton react to Shonda's call. We have a lot of artists and writers in our audience in Southern California, Hollywood, of course. What do you make of what Shonda had to say there, Autumn, and the impact of centering a Black voice, centering a Black gaze in literature that Toni Morrison was able to give to the world?
Yeah, thank you. And thank you to that caller. I mean, it was so well put. And one of the things that I think really stands out is the way she didn't just center the Black woman's voice, but Black women's voices, right? There were always so many ways that she was imagining that Black woman could be, right? I mean, when we get a book like Sula, you have so many different variations of a Black femininity and Black womanhood and friendship and motherhood and sisterhood and what it means to be a lover and a wife. And it was really an unprecedented way of thinking about the multiple ways that Black women could be, right, in the world and on the page. So I think it gives us a model, right, for thinking about how we need to be imagining these stories by and about Black women. I was also reminded of the way that Toni Morrison, right, wasn't just, as we've all been saying, wasn't just a novelist or a public intellectual, right? But she was also a reader, right? And somebody who reflected on reading as an editor, as a literary scholar, as a literary critic, and really foregrounded her relationship to other women in that process. So without her, we also wouldn't have had all of these amazing Black women writers of the 1970s, like Toni Cade Bambara or Gail Jones, who she edited, right? So I think really foregrounding how she renders on the page Black womanhood, but also how she gives us a model for being together as women that I don't think we've had since her.
Evelyn from Torrance is writing in saying that she's heartbroken. She's 55 years old. She's about to start community college because of Toni Morrison. These are the stories that we're hearing from people and the impact of this literary great that we've lost today. Autumn Womack, back to you briefly, because, you know, as reading through op-eds about what Toni Morrison has meant and about you know, stories about her work and her influence, you also come across what she came up against in the literary world. And at the time she was writing, racism in literary criticism was intense. I mean, she writes about a time when a critic for some reason compared her essay to an episode of The Cosby Show simply because she was Black and the show had Black characters. I mean, the context in which she was putting this work out, I feel, just can't be separated from what she was doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes complete sense. And I mean, I think if we go back to that 1970 moment when she published The Bluest Eye, right, as she said in that interview clip, I mean, this was a moment when it was about Black is beautiful. This is a moment where there also was really an interest in the why and the sociological reasons for explaining Black life, right? Explaining Black life in the aftermath of the 1967 and 1968 riots and the failures of civil rights legislation. And she wasn't giving the sociological narrative, right? And she also wasn't the Ralph Ellison or the Richard Wright, right, who was also being celebrated as giving answers to the so-called problem of Black life, Right. So it was a different kind of book. And we see that in the reviews for The Bluest Eye. I have my students do a presentation where or a project where they have to track how the book was received in the press. And it was difficult, right, to wrap for readers to wrap their heads around, you know, what this quote unquote ugly picture meant. But I think she innovated at every turn, right, in the face of writing books that were not the books that were expected, right? She innovated at every turn and gave us new language, and language that we often didn't even know that we needed, for thinking about Black history, what it means to, you know, to be a woman or to be a man, right? She also writes quite often about masculinity and manhood. So I think it's the innovation that she developed, right, in the face of not having text that looked like hers, right? She says, I wrote this book because there wasn't anything like it. So I think that's important to keep in mind, too, just the gravity of the project that she undertook.
Maya Butler with African American Literature Department at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. We're running shorter on time, but as you hear Autumn Womack speak about what Toni Morrison gave to the world, I can't help but think about all of the artists that will create because of what Toni Morrison did. Do you have any final thoughts about her and her impact?
Absolutely. I mean, I think I mentioned earlier that I envisioned myself going to grad school and becoming like a Toni Morrison scholar, and that was all Toni Morrison all the time. And, you know, I quickly learned that that's not really how it works. But lately, I write a lot about a Haitian-American author, Edwige Danticat, and I'm the co-founder of the society that fosters the teaching and the study of her work and her activism, her literary work and her activism. And the more deeply that I have read Danticat's work over the years, the more I see so many allusions to Toni Morrison's literary work. She writes about her so deeply, carefully, thoughtfully, and lovingly, invoking scenes from Beloved and other novels, especially in her nonfiction pieces. And I realized that, you know, she's just so clearly, Morrison is so clearly a literary foremother of Danticat as well, even though she is Haitian American and writing out of a sort of a different place in the diaspora. And it just underscores to me the impact that that others have already stated that she has had on so many authors, especially ushering in a wave of new Black women writers during her time at Random House, but also authors who continue to work today, them and others.
Yeah, it's just hard to quantify the impact of a genius like Toni Morrison, the impact of a literary giant like Morrison on the world and on the future creations of writers and artists going forward, filmmakers. That was Maya Butler you just heard with the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. Dana Williams also joined us today, president of the Toni Morrison Society and professor of African American literature and chair of the Department of English at Howard University. And Autumn Womack shared her time with us, African American studies professor at Princeton, where Toni Morrison taught and lectured for many years. Author Toni Morrison, dead at the age of 88. Thank you to all of our callers who shared her impact on their lives. And we have to have a reading list from this conversation. Some of the titles that are lesser known and some of the other authors that were mentioned today, we'll share those on the Air Talk page on kpcc.org. Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle today. Thanks very much for listening. It's time for news with Hedy Lynn Hurdies.